Turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and that's where we will be this morning. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And anybody need a sermon outline? English and Spanish. Last week, Jeannie got a Spanish. She struggled. Okay? Anybody need it, we'll get it to you. So, what is the role of the church in this time of opportunity? So, is it a crisis or is it an opportunity? I believe we can look at it as an opportunity. Whether it be COVID-19 or racial unrest or political upheaval, or how about this? How about what comes next week? Do we know? I mean, come on now. We thought it was pretty crazy when the virus came, right? And then we had the riots. We had the death of George Floyd. Then we had the riots. And now we've got this political upheaval going on. So would anything surprise you next week? How about the Lord coming? Huh? Yeah, amen. We need to be ready for that. So Micah 6:8, what a beautiful verse. And this verse, you should have it memorized. And this should guide everything that we do. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? So, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Lord, may you bless the reading of the word. We thank you for ancient words. And we pray that you might bless the preaching of the word, the hearing of the word, and the application of the word. For it's in your son's precious name, the name of Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Well, I gave you a little bit of introduction for today's message. But over the next 3 or 4 weeks, we will be looking specifically at the church's role. Today, primarily in COVID-19, and an introduction in a time of racial unrest and political upheaval. So I want you to think about what should the church be doing at this time. So I came up with 4 C's. And I want to tell you, I really struggled till yesterday morning sometime because I had 3 C's. And so it was obvious I was leaving something out. And what I was leaving out was the C of what the church must first do, and that's confess. Confess that we have not been the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that He would have us to be. Now, some are more guilty than others, but we have not been the church that He would call us to be. Especially the evangelical church in America has not been the church that we should be. So, confess, concern, compassion, and care. That should be 4 C words that define the church. We need to admit or state that we have committed a crime or we have a fault or we have a sin in some way or the other. And let me tell you, if you're doing the 1-year Bible with us, it's the same sin that Israel struggled with. Are y'all with me, church? It's the same sin today. The shedding of innocent blood. Sexual immorality, and our idols. And we're still dealing with them today. But in America, I want to tell you, we ought to be ashamed that we have stood really, as a majority, silently by and watched 60 million babies being killed in the womb. And just another little side note, 20 million of those little black babies. And we hadn't been rioting in the street. Come on now. concern. What is going on in America should be a matter and of extreme importance to the church. Amen? And in order for you to be concerned and to have compassion and to offer care, you got to know what's going on. And that's what I want to do in the next 3-4 weeks, is to tell you and my thinking, my understanding, what's going on in America. Compassion, sympathy, and concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. Do you hear me? Compassion upon people. Mercy towards people, if you might. And then care. We are responsible in those times with those people to give the care that they need. We need to be looking for all those opportunities. So I just want you to know it's time for the church to be courageous. Are y'all with me? And act like followers of Jesus. Listen, I'll just give you, this is not in my notes, but I want to tell you something. Stay off social media. Do not show your ignorance or your lack of concern or your lack of understanding or lack of care on social media. Stay off of it. And I'm not on social media. And I don't have a clue that any of you have been on there showing your ignorance. But I hear it all the time from other people about how shocked they are at what they're seeing on social media from Christian, quote, Christian people. Now, here's another thing you need to understand. You need to tell other people, just because they self-identify as Christians, if they're not followers of Jesus, they're not Christians. I want to tell you, times like these, you find out who the Christians are. Amen? COVID-19. Listen to me. This is not a crisis for God. He is using this, and I also pray that He'll continue to use it till He does with this virus exactly what He sees fit to do. And I pray that might be a great spiritual revival like the world has never seen. Listen, wouldn't that be something to be a part of an awakening that if the Lord doesn't come in soon, that down the road they would talk about the awakening, the revival of 2020? Wouldn't that be something? We are not to be fearful. Why? Because our days are numbered anyway. We are not to act like the rest of the world. I want you to know, Brother Bob and Linda are not here this morning, and Brother Bob told me yesterday, or day before yesterday, he said, Brother Bruce, I really want to be there, but he said, you know, and I'm not worried about myself, but I don't really want to be responsible for bringing something home to Linda. And he said, I'm listening on the internet, and I'll be praying for you. And that's good. But we are not to be fearful. We need to take precautions, and we need to go on advancing God's kingdom. We can't sit still in this time of opportunity. You need to be figuring out, if I can't go to the jail, if I can't go to the nursing homes, if we can't do what we normally do here, what can we do out there? Racial unrest. Most of you guys know that 2-3 weeks ago I took a trip to Little Rock, and I met with 8 or 10 men about what's going on in the realm and in the sphere of racial unrest in Arkansas, and it was really good. I had one political person who, if I told you his name, you would recognize him. He said this, don't copy how you're going to do things in Nashville, Arkansas after Little Rock. Because he said, we haven't been doing a very good job. He said, look, he said, I know what's going on in Nashville, Arkansas. I know what you guys are doing. He said, just go back to Howard County and do what you've been doing. Was that not a good word? I met with young people. I met with black pastors. I met with white pastors. I met with people. I met with a young man that has connections with this church. I got a lot of input. But I want to tell you what a longtime member said. And if I told you his name, you'd sure know him. I said, what do we need to be doing? And he looked me right in the eye and said, without any apologies, Pastor, we need to be what we've been doing for the last 25 years, ministering to people of all kinds and all walks and all languages and in all darkness of skin, minister all people and go on what doing what we've been doing. And that's exactly what we have the responsibility to do. We have the responsibility, listen, to do the only thing that will fix the world. Are you listening? Preach the gospel. The only thing that's going to fix America or the world is a great turning to Jesus Christ for salvation. It's the only thing. Everything else is a band-aid that over a cycle or a period of time will come undone. Confront sin. You know where we need to start? Y'all know where I need to start? Tell me where I need to start. In my life. I want to tell you that occasionally I struggle with a besetting sin, a sin that just won't go away easy. And praise God, I want to just tell you, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and Lewis and I talk about these things on a regular basis, in the last three or four weeks, I've had a pretty good, hallelujah, victory over this. And as soon as I kind of got a little victory over that, the Lord started showing me some other things in my life. Pride? Selfishness? Huh? Those would be a good place to start. So confront sin. Where do we need to be confronting sin? In Minneapolis or in Seattle? No, in our church, in our community. We need to confront sin. And listen to me, church, we need to love one another. Love one another. We need to get to know one another, and we need to serve one another, and we need to serve other people together. Two things that I got this week, and I'll tell you the other one a little later. Eddie Williams is he's not here this morning. Stormy's not here. She did call, and Eddie's got an ox in the ditch. That's what I'll tell you, but. He worked a young man this week that when that young man was a baby and his dad was in prison, this church provided a gift for that young man at Christmas time. And 16 years later, he worked for Eddie. Come on now. We ought to have some history in this town, right? We ought to all be known in this town as people who love one another, people of all kinds, and who do their best to take care of one another. A great opportunity. Political upheaval. Listen to me. You need to be informed. I want to tell you this. You need to be careful who you listen to. Let me just tell you. When I find out that someone, whether it be political or a news commentator or one of those, I don't even think you call them news commentators anymore, those talking heads, whatever they are on all these talk shows, listen to me. Y'all listen to me carefully. If I find out that they are for abortion, I'm not going to give them the time of day. Listen, because they have no spiritual discernment. Now, how do I know that? Because if they believe in the taking of the unborn life, they have lost their compass, they have lost their direction. Don't listen to them. You want to know why we're going so far off the rail? It's because of this abortion issue. God has absolutely removed the restraints. He's letting us do what we want to do. We have lost our minds. And it shouldn't surprise us. Be careful who you listen to. Listen to me. And at least be balanced. Don't just listen to the people you want to hear all the time. Listen to somebody of a different political party or a different news network. And I want to tell you, I love One News Now. But I'll just tell you, One News Now is biased. And so it's okay to listen to somebody else. But I want you to tell you, if you're just listening to one person all the time, you don't know what's going on. Because they very well may be lying to you. Pray for our nation. I think if you do a little investigation, there's still not another place in the world that you'd want to live. Matter of fact, our immigrants prove and continue to prove that every day. Pray for our leaders and get engaged. What I want to spend the most time on is the racial unrest and political upheaval in our country. And I'm going to begin today, and we'll continue this discussion over the next few weeks. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7:14. So we're talking about confession now and what we must do. And I've already spent some time here, so I'm not going to spend much time. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Oh, by the way, y'all could loosen up just a bit. I'm not mad at anybody except the devil. Amen. And I know sometimes, probably Virginia could tell you, sometimes when I'm talking to her, if I get pretty stirred up about it, a little animated, she might think that I'm mad. I'm not mad, except at the devil. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's what the church needs to do first. This is what we need to do as individual. If my people, those people who are followers of Jesus, if my people who are called by my name, if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, will humble themselves. You know what that means? You bow your knee, your heart, your life before God and say, it's not my life, it's yours. Humble yourselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Listen to that next word. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Do we need a healing in this land? Well, listen, whether it be the murder of unborn or racism in America, whether it be individual or systemic or whatever the case, when we see it, we need to call what it is, and we need to turn from it. We need to repent. We need to confess and repent. I want to start with the shedding of blood. Listen to me. If you're in here and you're a man that encouraged the aborting of a baby or a woman who took part in an abortion, you can be forgiven. It is not the unforgivable sin. But I want to tell you, America is complicit. We continue to abort babies, about 3,000 a day in America. Listen, and I'll share this with you in the coming weeks of time. So while we're writing in America about George Floyd's death and injustice in America, or injustice in America, listen, we are having people of dark skin picketing abortion clinics. Are y'all listening? And being arrested. Because they're picketing to stop the killing, and one-third of them are black babies at abortion clinics throughout America. Arrested for what? Speaking their mind about killing of the unborn. The unborn and the innocent. And that's what they are. The innocent people that are just murdered in the street, we need to stop the shedding of blood. Church, individually, and as a church, we need to stop sexual immorality. I want to tell you, it amazes me the ignorance of people. I'm talking about 20-year-old people and their parents, the ignorance of the fact that living with someone you're not married to is adultery and is a sin. Did you hear me? They don't know that. We need to stop sexual immorality. Are you listening carefully? And I'm talking about heterosexual adultery. We need to stop it in our lives. We need to stop it in our churches. And then surely we need to stand up against same-sex sexual immorality and all that goes with that, including the transgender situation. I want you to think, and we'll talk about this more later, but let me tell you, let me ask you this. Does anybody ever think about the oppression that comes upon a person who is living in known and willful sin? And how easily we oppress ourselves or encourage our loved ones to be oppressed because they live in known and willful sin. Because I want to tell you, real oppression is to be separated from God, which sin does. Then church, individuals, we need to confess of seeking after our idols. You know, the stuff of the world. Fine things, clothes, money, houses, whatever the case may be. We've got our idols, don't we? Conway McWaby, I've told you before, he took a $10 bill out at a conference and held it up and he said, "We may not have any graven images, but in Africa we have our idols," but he said, "You Americans have your idols too." And it's wealth and money. And then church, aren't you glad that as a congregation, what appears on the surface, we don't have to repent of being segregated and separated? Aren't you glad of that? And you know, it's only by the grace of God. Amen? It's only by the grace of God. And listen, intentional and hard work on all of our parts. But listen to me. You just think at the... Can anybody remember the last fellowship we had? It's been a long time, hasn't it? Okay. Just remember, even us, when we get together in a fellowship, we all sit with the birds of the same feather. Amen? We need to be integrated, and we need to be one, and we need to become comfortable with one another. Amen? Micah 6:8. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Concern. Having an interest in other things and other people, and an interest that makes it important to us. What's going on in America, from the virus to racial unrest to political upheaval, should concern us. Because I want to tell you, one thing that I know about America, it is diligent, especially right now, it is diligent to fight religious persecution throughout the world. Are you listening to me? And did you know that about 90% of the people who are persecuted because of their religion are of dark skin? Did you know that? So we ought to be concerned about things that are going on. Because I want to tell you, America fights religious persecution throughout the world. Compassion. We need to have sympathy and concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. And we need to have a plan to care for and meet the needs of those. So let me ask you about this Micah 6:8 scripture. How plain is it? Look back at it. He has told you, man, what's good? You want to know what the good life looks like? You want to know what the life looks like that's pleasing to God? Well, here it is. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice. Do you know what that means? That means the best you can to treat all people fairly. I want to just step on a toe just for a second. And when you see injustice, that you confront it. Now, don't tell me you don't get the opportunity. I'm a white guy. Matter of fact, an old gray-headed white guy, and we'll talk about that next week. And sometimes people don't realize when I'm around that kind of church I preach at. So when you see injustice, did you know a brother or sister of a darker skin and we're around, they ought not even have to take up for themselves. Amen? Amen? We ought to take up for them. You don't think that would have an influence? Surely it would. Do justice. Love kindness. Hey, just be good to people. Let them go to the front of the line. Take them something to eat. Wave at them. Speak to them at Walmart. It still amazes me in Nashville, Arkansas, that I can say buenos dias to a Spanish person or good morning to a black person, and they look at me like I've lost my mind. Love kindness. And to walk humbly with your God. You know where that starts, folks? On your knees every morning. Bow to His will. Bow to His word. We're talking about confronting these situations in America. This is a good place to start. This verse should be the standard operating procedure for FOJs. Followers of Jesus. This is where we ought to go to every morning to decide how we're going to live that day. Listen, it's the godly life. Amen? And it's a beautiful life. Listen to me. And it's a good life. You know what justice is? Justice is the right behavior towards our treatment of a people. And looking out that others are treating them the same. Justice. We find it many times throughout God's Word. So we just understand that God requires some things of us. He asks us to do justice and to live justly. And to give everyone their due. Are you with me? Treat everyone the way you would want to be treated. Did you know that's their due? Do you always get what you deserve? Come on now. You know a time where we're not going to get what we deserve is at judgment. But when people don't give us what we deserve, and that's kindness, we should be gracious towards them. Amen? And you know who that includes? That includes bosses and equals and those that might be the have-nots of the world. And we need to be equal to all. And we don't need to be about oppressing people in body, our goods, or in name. And listen to me. We do not need to be a part of encouraging people to sin and be oppressed. Matthew 7:12. Good place to start. Amen. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Just treat people the way you want to be treated. And don't let it be a surprise to them or anybody else. To love mercy, to be kind, merciful, compassionate towards all that need your kindness. How many people need our kindness? All people need our kindness. To walk humbly with God We need to keep the heart sincerely humble, bowed down, the will, the mind, the tongue, the knee. We need to start by bowing down every day to God. And as He gives us His laws and decrees to live by, and He gives us verses like Micah 6:8, you know what we don't need to be doing? We don't need to be grumbling, do we? Thank you, Lord, that He's given us a way to live. Matthew 22:37-39. And He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Does anybody need to make a confession right here and now that I'm not the only one in the house that struggles with this verse? Did you see how much we're supposed to love Him? Come on now, all your heart. You know what that would leave no room for as being above God? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And listen to this. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jade and Jack and the other little guys in here, Yael, Santiago, Stephanie, they could all tell you, who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? That person that lives at 420 West Shepherd Street or 502 West Shepherd Street? What's the catechism says? All my fellow men are my neighbors. Love your neighbor. Even those that Dylan realized that old people go to bed before dark and they don't want to hear fireworks at 12:05. Even those neighbors, that when I walk my neighborhood this morning, I'm thinking to myself, we need to outlaw the selling of fireworks in Nashville, Arkansas. Before the day's out, just drive the streets and look at the debris, the trash left from fireworks. Listen, are y'all listening? I'm about done. If it doesn't start with you loving God, the rest of it's not going to happen. You know why most people aren't good to other people? They don't love other people. They don't love God. They don't even love themselves. It's got to start with loving God. If you don't love God, you'll never love your neighbor that's got a barking dog or does whatever. Amen? So, we start with this in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our neighborhoods. We fix America when we love God, we love our church, and we love each other. And listen, there's nothing that the world can offer that would make that happen. Only God can make loving God and loving others happen. It's absolutely a work of God. Philippians 2:3-5. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit. I'm going to add some words because I have another translation. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others what? More significant, important than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Listen, others should be a matter of concern for us. We should have compassion. We have a desire to care for others. You know what? We can do that in our homes. We can do that in our church. And this is what we do with brothers and sisters in Christ who have been wounded. All right, now listen carefully. I heard two words that I think I kind of connected, okay? Listen to me. Let me tell you what happened on the day that George Floyd was brutally murdered by a white policeman in the presence of an Asian, a black, and another policeman. That was cold-blooded murder, okay? And at that moment, all the hurts, of the past and the wounds of past racism in America, that wound was opened in people of dark skin. That's what happened. And I heard these two words in Little Rock. I heard the word anger and grief. And if you think about anger and grief, they are both connected because anger is part of grief. So I want you to get in mind that whether we can see it or not, whether it be actual or it should be that way or not, it is so. There's a wound that has been opened. Now, I want to get it down on a level that all of you will understand what I'm talking about. If you are a man and you have ever known of a woman who has been deeply hurt by adultery, whether it be your wife or someone else's wife, that is a wound that occasionally will be reopened. You could come to it in Scripture. Someone else could be going through the same thing in which a man has been unfaithful to a woman, and you and your wife or somebody else may be counseling with someone going through it now. And that person who was violated and wounded 40 years ago, the wound is opened up. Are y'all with me, church? Do you know what the responsibility of that man that committed adultery is? It's to put salve on, to put medicine on, to put love on the wound. And in black America, there is a wound. And it's obviously there, and it's come open again. And do you know what it is time for Christian people and people in the church to do? It's not to fix. It's not to say, I don't understand that. It's our time to listen, to be compassionate, to be concerned, and to be caring, and listen. As difficult as it may be. Because I want to tell you, I've talked to enough black men in the last month. That wound is there for most. Some it's wide open. Some just a crack. And I want to tell you that no one has the answer for that except God Almighty and His church. And that's forgiveness. Come on now, church. And reconciliation. No, let me go back. That's conviction. That's confession. That's asking for forgiveness. That's repentance. And it's reconciliation moving forward. And how many times will we do it? Listen to me. Till we get past it. Guess how many times a man does it with his wife if he's committed adultery with her? Probably as long as he lives, till he gets past it. That's our role right now. Next week, we'll begin to talk some about other things that should be going on. But right now, listen, I realize I'm not talking to the white evangelical church this morning. I'm talking to a church that's been iron sharpened iron, and brothers of darker skin and lighter skin, and brothers that speak a different language. I'm talking about folks that's got to know folks and know about how to treat one another and what to do when somebody's hurting. Get over your pride, be a good listener, and let's see what God might do. Amen. Revelation 7:9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robe with palm branches in their hands. Can you imagine how diversified heaven's going to be? We're all going to speak Spanish, I'm quite sure, in heaven. But there'll be all different kinds of skin tones and skin colors and facial features and all of that. Amen? And I want to tell you, I am so thankful that in this demographic, our church kind of looks like the community. And that's the way it ought to be. So let me just tell you this. Be hospitable. Be gracious towards other people. Get to know other people. Billy said I could use him as an example. Billy had no idea I was going to preach this sermon today. Billy has a neighbor of 27 years. Billy goes by his house every time he goes to town. Over the last few days, he realized that he had never spoken one word to that man of darker skin. He went to his house and told him, "I'm your neighbor of 27 years, and I've never spoken to you, and I've came to speak to you and to talk to you today." That's what I'm talking about. You don't have to go to Minneapolis. You don't have to go to Seattle or anywhere else, Chicago, anywhere else. Just look around within a rock's throw of your house, amen, and go be hospitable and kind towards somebody. And just see what God might do. Matter of fact, it would probably be good to break bread together, fellowship together, serve God together, and practice hospitality in your home. Well, church, I knew that today's message would be harder on one demographic than another. And I can promise you we'll share over the next few weeks some uncomfort. Amen? But you know what? Unless iron sharpens iron, unless somebody's just a little bit uncomfortable, we're probably not making much progress, are we? I do want to just share this. If you're not a Grace Gems person, you can get it in an email or you can get it on an app. Today, J.C. Ryle, they call him the Bishop, Bishop Ryle, he speaks to this series of sermons that I'm preaching. And he's an older guy. So you want to hear the right perspective on it. Go to Grace Gems, pull up today's Grace Gem, and read it. It's excellent. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We bow down before you. We pray that you'd take this message by your Spirit and your Word and do with us as you see fit to do. I pray, dear Lord, that we would be people who do what is good. I pray that we'd be people who do justice and look out for justice. We'd be people who are kind to one another, and we'd be people especially who walk humbly with our God. Lord, today, with this message and with us, do what you see fit for your honor and your glory. For it's in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.